Okay, folks, well, here we are for this week's culture segment for The Boundless Show. And another book that we get to talk about that I had the privilege of endorsing. And I always tell people, you know, it's kind of few and far between the books that I come out and actually endorse, because I believe that I will read the entire book and truly believe in it and stand behind it. And in fact, talk about it and promote it as I'm out and about. And so this is one of those books of the very few that I've done this for. It is called True Beauty. It is by Carolyn Mahaney and Nicole Whitaker. And I have Nicole with me here on the phone today. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Lisa.
Very glad to have you here. For those of you that know and who followed The Boundless Show, you know that we have featured writings of the Mahaneys before. So Carolyn is the wife of Pastor C.J. Mahaney, and Nicole is their daughter, and so family. And so Carolyn and Nicole wrote this together. And, you know, it's one of those books, Nicole, which is funny. I'm not sure if other people have told you this, you know, that a woman reads and you're like, oh, my goodness, now I'm just going to be told about how I need to just love Jesus and not be so concerned about this and be concerned about being a spiritual, you know, Jesus-loving woman, and that's all that matters. And I love the fact that this is not what that book is about. So that is encouraging in and of itself. Nicole is actually a mom of four, and she is also the co-author of Girl Talk and Shopping for Time, and runs, she blogs basically with her mom at girltalkhome.com. So ladies especially, I mean, guys, you can too, whatever. You can check out that blog if you want to listen in. Well, let's go ahead and jump into some of the themes, because there are a couple great things that I think you and your mom brought out in this book, Nicole. The first thing you do is naturally a great starting point, is talking about the culture and how it's delivered a script for beauty for us. And what's interesting to me is how, I mean, in all the dysfunction and where we've come in the culture and how, you know, we can even look back like 40 or 50 years and see that the standard for beauty was much different and almost much more normalized for women. And now it's become, you know, unless you're like a praying mantis stick figure, you are, you know, incredibly unattractive. but the fact is that that idea of beauty delivers. For some reason, having this unrealistic standard of beauty and going for it, trying to attain it, we're being fed this within our culture. And where do you think all this craziness has come from?
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right, and it is crazy, and I think a lot of it does come from our media culture that is obsessed with beauty, and so we are just daily bombarded with advertisements on TV, movies, and we're told not only that we should look a certain way, but that we must do whatever it takes to look that way and achieve that cultural standard, which, by the way, is always changing on us, it seems, every couple of months. But we're also told, I think embedded in those messages, is that you must achieve this standard of beauty in order to be happy, in order to be successful, in order to be satisfied in life. And I think that's where it gets us. I think we feel like we must attain this standard of beauty if our life is going to be good, worth living, and if we're going to achieve what we want.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, if I could easily look and say, you know, pick out several supermodels and be like, okay, well, I will never be them. But I find myself comparing myself to totally normal looking women, you know, all just women, girlfriends in my acquaintance. And I'm like, well, they're prettier than I am. So they obviously have a better life. So I think it's, you know, almost false for us to say, oh, that's this Hollywood unattainable standard. I mean, I find it very easy to falsely compare myself to women and my peers and my acquaintance. And I think you and your mom bring this up in the book, that that even happens in the church. I mean, you show up on Sunday and you're immediately like putting yourself on some kind of docket of comparison with other women.
Yeah, and I think that just speaks oftentimes, at least for me, when I do that, because I'm same as you. I am tempted to do that every Sunday. I walk into church and I see the, you know, younger women with their like Pinteresty hairstyles, and you know, they're looking really good, and I'm starting to compare myself. But at least for me, where that comes from is oftentimes I'm comparing myself to them because, you know, I'm desiring the attention or the approval or the admiration that I am giving them or that I think they're getting from others. So oftentimes for me, it just reveals a self-focus and a desire for other people's admiration.
Yeah. Okay, so what's interesting is we would normally think, you know, in addressing the problem, we would think, and this is, I think, what we've been told in church and in the Christian culture throughout the decades, that the antidote to that is to say, stop thinking about beauty. Don't think about it. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is read your Bible more and care about what Jesus mm-hmm. cares about, because, of course, he just looks at the heart and he doesn't care what you look like. He just wants you to be mm-hmm. beautiful right. on the inside. Okay, right, and this is right. where this is where I want to rope the guys into, because the guys are probably just mm-hmm. like having a huge snooze fest and being like, oh, my goodness, mm-hmm. all these ladies are just so obsessed, whatever and whatever. But the fact is that, you know, we could say we're going to focus on our spiritual life or just have a great personality. But beauty is actually a good thing, and it is biblical.
Exactly.
And so talk to us a little bit about that, about why God is not opposed to beauty. He is not opposed to physical beauty, in mm-hmm. fact. And right. how can right. we have a right view of that in light of what Scripture says?
Exactly. And I'm glad you asked that, because it's one of the main things that we tried to bring out in the book. When we look at Scripture, and I think go beyond just that kind of soundbite that we often hear, and we really look at what all of Scripture says about beauty. Scripture has a surprising amount to say about beauty, and it starts with the fact that God is the beautiful one. Scripture regularly, repeatedly refers to God as the beautiful one. God created a beautiful world for us to live in, and he made us in his image to be like him and to reflect that beauty. And also, he gave us a taste for beauty. Our desire for beauty, our enjoyment of beauty, was given to us by God, and it was given to us so that we would be able to worship him in his beauty. But I think Scripture does speak so much more to that than just, you know, don't focus on outer beauty. It actually tells us how to make ourselves beautiful and how to adorn ourselves. So mm-hmm. I think it's a very important point in Scripture.
Yeah, exactly. And that idea of God himself being beautiful and him setting the standard. Exactly. And I think that rolls into something that you guys say in the book that I felt was my biggest takeaway and the thing that I was like, this is where I need to completely redirect myself. And it is that idea that our biggest problem isn't in whether or not we're beautiful or not beautiful, or what the standards are and if we meet them or not, or if we should just be, you know, wear sackcloth and act like we don't care. The biggest issue is the fact that we're totally self-focused to begin with. And mm-hmm. if we had mm-hmm. our attention and our aspirations in the right place, and I love how you draw this comparison of, you know, you can be completely vain, you can be obsessed with the way you look, or you could be woe is mm-hmm. me, have a low self-esteem. Both of those are mm-hmm. preoccupations with self. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, yeah. this I'm amazing or I'm terrible is taking away what God has truly, I mean, it's dishonoring what God has created us to be. And how are you, exactly. how do you see that play out, and what is the remedy for it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, I think we do see it play out in both temptations, the temptation to want to look beautiful in order to get attention from others, so vanity, pride, taking pride in our looks, or the kind of insecure, poor body image, you know, struggles that so many of us have. And I think if there was anything that we were hoping that people would take away from the book is that in both of those struggles, the root of our problem is that we are seeking glory for our own beauty instead of seeking glory for God's beauty. And when we realize that, and we can turn away from ourselves to worshiping God, that's where true freedom lies. Ed Welch has a great illustration, and he says, when we're in the throne room with God, we're not going to be thinking about our hair or our cosmetics or our weight. We are going to be worshiping God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were created for. And that's where true freedom is. And I think that, just if there's anything that we want women to get from this book, is that there's just freedom and joy in taking our eyes off of ourselves and enjoying God's beauty, enjoying the desires he gave us to make ourselves beautiful and to make the world around us beautiful for his glory. And when we do that, there is such freedom and joy in that. And the more we do that throughout our lifetime, it'll just be increasing our joy and our freedom, but also making us at the same time more beautiful.
Yeah. So in light of that, I mean, just out of curiosity, was this book then born out of conversations with your mom? I mean, what did you two discuss as far as struggles with your own perceptions of beauty? And I mean, did she have any kind of, did you like give her some guilt trip for, mom, you put this in me, now you need to fix it because now I'm all obsessed with this? I mean, what did you guys have conversations about as you scripted this book?
Oh, that's such a good question. Yeah, it didn't, I think it came out of some messages that my mom had prepared and spoke, but it also came out of years of raising three girls, and we talked about these issues, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, as a teenager, I was, you know, I had acne and braces, and, you know, even as a young woman, I mean, now I have I'm 38 now, I have acne and wrinkles. And so this has been like an ongoing discussion for many years. So I think it's just my mom consistently teaching this message to us definitely is part of how this book came to be. And just experiencing it in my own life, that's what made me so excited to write it with her, just experiencing the freedom and joy that come from saying, I'm going to take my eyes off myself and enjoy the beauty of God, worship God for his beauty, and experience that freedom. Just having experienced it myself and watching her example and doing the same definitely had a lot to do with where this book came from.
Yeah. So where would you say, like, circling back and again, bringing attention to the guy's perspective in this, where do men come in when it comes to beauty? Because they appreciate beauty. They appreciate physical beauty specifically, and we know it. Mm-hmm. And so often our concern is, how are they going to respond? What is this going to look like? What is a guy's right attitude towards this as he's trying to encourage the women around him without being, again, some weirdo, like, you know, eunuch or something who's just like, I just need to not think about it because that's not healthy either.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and we actually did recently had a guy, a college guy, very humbly write us and just say, okay, I know I don't understand beauty from a biblical perspective. Like, can you help me? And actually when we were writing the book, we wrote in a blog post. That was one of our, we almost wish we could like, that more guys would read it, even than girls. I mean, we wrote it for women, and we want women to read it, but we almost wish that men would read it more, because I think that men's attitudes towards beauty can certainly make things very difficult for women, and that I think we've all been affected by our culture, men and women both, and I think oftentimes, as women, we're more aware of our need to regain a biblical perspective of beauty, but I'm not sure that men always realize the same need to understand what does God say about beauty. So that's one of the reasons we hope that men will read this too and understand beauty from God's perspective, which is you know, just starting with God, you know, and that has an influence on how they think about everything, from how they think about beauty to how they, you know, what they're looking for when they search for a wife.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What, Nicole, would you say, I mean, because we talk about getting back to a scriptural application of this, you know, we talk about the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, and you and your mom unpack this a little bit. How you describe the gentle woman actually as being the strong woman. Mm-hmm. How is this so? Because I think in our culture, we very much told women that either we need to compete with men or we need to be kind of the wilting flowers who are going to, you know, be rescued by men. How can we get a good balance here to understand what God really asks of us?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I think most of us don't find ourselves initially like attracted to what we think of as a gentle and quiet spirit. But when we understand that a gentle and quiet spirit is really, is, as you said, talking about a woman who is strong, who trusts God in the midst of adversity, who does not retaliate when she is sinned against, that is a woman who is anything but weak and anything but soft. She is not a doormat. She is a woman of great strength, and that gentle and quiet spirit, that I think the short version is that she trusts in God, and that as she does that through adversities, it makes her more beautiful, and it's a miraculous thing. But I think we've all seen it in women that we know who have trusted God and who are looking to God in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Sure. So what would you say, Nicole, for the girl who's hearing this now and is just like, okay, yeah, I basically know I'm totally screwed up. I know that, you know, I've bought into everything that the culture, they could be one of your examples in the book, like a girl who's gone out and, you know, either gotten plastic surgery or has spent, you know, hundreds of dollars on cosmetics or is doing, you know, keeping up, working out 2 hours a day. I mean, it applies differently to all of us. What are some good steps that women can take right now to start reorienting themselves to God's standard of beauty and how they can better incorporate a right vision of that in their own lives, given all the pressures they're being delivered?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, we really wanted to come across in our book and really felt strongly about is that Scripture really does have answers to our struggles with beauty that satisfy. Scripture really does present us with a vision of beauty that is satisfying, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ really does transform our perspective of beauty. So no matter how messed up we think we are, no matter how much we are struggling, the girl we used at the beginning of the book who shared her story about having cosmetic surgery, she's actually a friend of a friend and has experienced remarkable grace in her life and is experiencing a lot of joy and freedom in her walk with the Lord. So I think it would be a couple things. I think, first of all, we'd want to encourage everyone to go to Scripture. Even if you think you've heard it before, there are truths in Scripture that will transform your life. And I think this is also just where the local church is so important. As you sit under a pastor's biblical teaching, as you interact with godly older women, women who can help you to learn from mistakes they've made, who can help you to learn from ways that God has given them grace, there will be a transforming effect in your life as you seek God through His Word, and through prayer, and through fellowship with other believers. I believe there's just much grace to be had, and God desires to do this. He wants to give us a vision of His beauty that transcends any message in our culture.
Well, cool. The book, again, is True Beauty. I've been talking to Nicole Whitaker, who is has written this with her mom, Carolyn Mahaney. And again, you can check it out. We'll link to it at our blog. And you can find out more about what she's talking about consistently at girltalkhome.com. Nicole, thank you so much for offering some perspective on this, not only in the writing of it, but in kind of helping me take some themes here in this conversation. And all the best to you and your mom as you encourage women in your walk and as you interact with them throughout the day.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It was great to talk to you, and we are very grateful for your ministry at Boundless. So thank you.
Thank you so much.